praying forever. Hallelujah. So before you go, remember to take pictures with people. You know, we do this only once a year. So we don't know when we next will see you like this. So we want to capture the moment. Hallelujah. What's the theme for the year again? Okay, so if you were around the workers' meeting, you will have heard us decode what that means. Okay, you can say it backwards. There are no limits because there's supernatural aid. Hallelujah. There are no limits because there's supernatural aid. When God is ready and God gives an instruction, what do? We strengthen ourselves in the truth of God's word. Just like the chart we had this morning, we remind ourselves, we strengthen ourselves. Because when God is ready, God's word will not fail. But many times we often fail to walk in the reality and the fullness of what the Father has in mind for us. So every year, there's a window, there's an opportunity, there's something He tells us per season. And in that season, everyone that can plug into it, everyone who diligently runs with it, you begin to see exactly what that word actually means in your life. Hallelujah. And in 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul says that according to the charge that I gave unto you and the prophecies that went before on you, that by those prophecies you may war a good warfare. You may war a good warfare. That means that there are things that we seem to stand against what God has said. He says, but there are prophecies. Prophecies are not just for writing down. That for meditation, that to remind ourselves, this is God's mind, this is God's posture, this is how God sees me. He says, by then you may war a good warfare. It's good because the outcome is sure. So to war a good warfare means that you stand your ground even when things are going contrary. What makes you stand your ground? The prophecy. Hallelujah. The word of prophecy. So, you know, people easily throw their hands up in defeat when any little challenge comes up. They forget that there is a fight. There is warring a good warfare. That means that you are resolute in your conviction about the word you have received. But if you've not written it down, it becomes difficult. This is what God says will happen. This is the unfolding of what has spoken. Because it says, by those prophecies, you are able to war a good warfare. Hallelujah. All right. Last year, we had a series which we're going to continue. Everyday Supernatural Living, which we're going to continue this month. Because on the month of March, from the second weekend, second Saturday, we're going to be having healing rallies. Hallelujah. Healing rallies. Who is going to minister to the sick? Look at your neighbor. Say you. Say you. I mean you. Praise the Lord. Okay. You see, many times we forget the assignment of ministry gifts. They are meant to equip us so that we can do what? The work of the ministry. So who does the work of the ministry? Thank you. Say it again. Who does the work of ministry? You do see pastor there? No, pastor is doing his own work. He too was equipped. He equips others to do the same work. So the cycle continues. So ministry gifts are meant to equip us that we may do what? The work of the ministry. So equipping means training. Means training. So there are people seated here this morning. They are varied giftings. Read abilities of God lying within you. Through training, you learn to express it. That's what the local assembly is about. You learn to express it. And one of the things we want to express in the month of March is healing. You know, there are mighty men of healing in the house this morning. Mighty women also. There are men and women here who can raise any paralyzed. Do you know there are people like that here this morning? Yeah. So, through the teaching of God's word, we remove all the dross of the silver so the silver can shine. That's what we use God's word to do. We move all the dross, all the confusion, all the wrong ideas, so that the silver can actually shine forth. Matthew 28. So as we start this morning again, to remind us, because some of the things we looked at, it's not everyone that retains the understanding of those things. And I'm following apostolic tradition in 2 Peter chapter 3. Before you read Matthew 28, 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1. See what it says. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of what? remembrance. So there were things that had been said before that the apostle now says, I'm writing this to remind you of certain truths that have passed across to you before. So there are truths that we've had, but hearing the truth is not enough. Practice of the truth is proof of understanding. So until you practice, we keep reminding you. Here's the interesting part. Even for those who practice, they still need to be reminded consistently. Why? The fashion of the world we live in seems to be programmed in such a way as to make us forget who we are. That's the way it works. So he says, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. The same 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always, say always, in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and you be established what? In the present truth. So, why do we repeat teachings and thoughts? Well, sometimes when you give a teaching, it may be the 10th time, the 7th time, the 12th time, before somebody then will understand what you're talking about. So, everyone is in church, we're listening, but we're not assimilating at the same level. Our understanding is not at the same level. So, there are certain truths that the truths just bear repetition before you can start practicing it. So, Matthew now 28. This is the resurrection of Jesus. I'm going to read from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, that's the word authority. Okay, there are two words translated power. One is authority, one is actually miracle working ability. Here, he's talking about authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in heart. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. There's so much echo. What's going on? All right. So let me read verse 18 again. And Jesus came and speak unto them. Now he's meeting, okay, with the 11. And he's stating certain specific truths that are important for them to comprehend. He says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This was something he didn't say before he rose from the dead. So this particular statement is a fact of Jesus' resurrection. Very important. All authority is given not in earth only, but in heaven and on earth. Now I said, in scripture language, if you follow the teaching last year, we said heaven and earth is imagery. There's a spiritual truth meant to be communicated by those words. If you start from Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1, the Bible says that, and in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, or light be. So we said in the writings of Moses, Moses used language to convey spiritual revelation. Heaven and earth there is a revelation of God's plan for mankind. Of all the four Gospels, the Apostle John was the only one who didn't bother us with genealogy. He just went straight to the Word. And he was describing Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. So in Genesis 1:1, what you find is that in the beginning, and there's no other beginning than the beginning. Say amen. There's no pre-beginning. There's no pre-Adamic. Say amen. The first man, Adam. Not the second man, Adam. So if there's a first man, Adam, there was no man before Adam. Say amen. Okay, so there was no that there were some beings, they messed up. After they messed up, God now decided to recreate. Read what it says. The first man, Adam. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the heaven and the earth, God's plan is that the heaven and earth should be together. And heaven always symbolizes God's invisible presence. So in verse 2, what you hear, and the heart was now from a void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. We said, according to the revelation of the epistles in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you start reading from verse 3, that the earth there is talking about the physical earth, is talking about the hearts or the spiritual condition of men. How many of you remember that one we look at? How many of you remember? Okay, so it bears repetition. That's talking about the spiritual condition of men. But let's read it because it's important. Thank you. But if our gospel be hid, it is he to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded. Which part of man does he blind? Which part does he blind? Thank you. Of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is what? the image of God. She shine where? Unto them. Look at the next verse. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Next verse. For God. Can you see that now? Who commanded light to shine where? Out of darkness. I'll shine where? In our hearts. So in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, the word the head, E-A-R-T-H there, is talking about the spiritual condition in hearts of men. Do you understand so far? So the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters is spiritual image for God is seeking entrance into the hearts of men. That's what he's trying to say. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but there was no man then. There was no man. It is Moses writing. Moses telling you what has always been God's plan, that God has always wanted to dwell in man's heart. Say amen. Do you understand now? So if you understand what Moses wrote in chapter 1, then chapter 2, chapter 3 will make sense that this is what must have happened to Adam. Adam rejected God's plan, which is that Spirit of God will dwell where? In the heart of man. Say amen. All right. So verse 3, God said, let there be light, or the light of the gospel, or the message of salvation, because that is how light shines into the heart of man. Do you understand so far? So heaven and heart has always been God's plan, that there be no distance at all between heaven and earth. So when Jesus arose from there and said that all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth, he's saying something significant. Don't think he's saying there's this authority heaven was hiding. I have now merged it together with the earth. No. He's using the language of Moses, which is God's language, to communicate a spiritual reality to those who are Jews. What's that language? Finally, heaven is now in the earth. Hallelujah. So, earth representing man, heaven representing God, the two of them together, heaven is now where? In the earth. Hallelujah. Do you follow so far? Good. So, let's go back. Next verse. Go, therefore, and make disciples of what? All nations. Next verse. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, if you read Mark's rendering, after I spoke to them, he ascended out of their sight. So if you're reading Matthew, it doesn't seem to make sense. You said, I am with you, but you are going. And he said, go ye therefore. I am with you, but you are going. So I am with you cannot mean a physical presence, because he left after I spoke to them. But he says, go ye therefore, or because heaven and earth have come together, which is the authority that I now give unto you, go ye therefore. What is that going? My resurrection is how heaven and earth came together. Do you understand so far? So he now says, go ye therefore. He says, making disciples. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus says makes disciples, the only way you can make a disciple is to make somebody do exactly what Jesus was doing. So you cannot be called a disciple except what Jesus went about doing is exactly what you want went about doing. Notice in Luke chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10 also, he sent them out in companies to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. What was he doing? Making them disciples. There was a limited authority. There was no authority of heaven and earth then, because heaven and earth was not together. But he gave them authority. What was he doing? Making them disciples. So if I make you my disciple, you can only be found doing what I am doing. Jesus was a carpenter career-wise. He didn't send anyone to make other people carpenters. He told them, make them disciples. Hallelujah. What is a disciple? Somebody who is found doing what is taught. There's a particular path that was shown you that you are meant to follow. In Acts 10:38, Bible says, and God anointed who? Jesus of Nazareth. Who sat down, built a house, bought a car, developed a career, started a business. Did you insert all those things there? Are you sure they're not there? Check again. How God anointed who? With the... And after the anointing, what did he go about doing? He went about healing. So if we were to go and make men disciples, here's where the mistake sometimes is. We thought he said, go and get men saved. That's phase one. Their true salvation will shine when we make them disciples. Somebody who is practicing a laid out order, following a laid out pathway, that's a disciple. So a disciple is not somebody who is clinging to his salvation. It's somebody who is sharing his salvation with others, with proofs to show. Because all authority has been given unto me where? In heaven and on earth. Heaven has now come into the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, again, here is the issue. Many times we read this and we pay lip service to it because we don't understand the gravity of that statement. Where Jesus said, heaven and earth. We don't understand the gravity of that statement. But many times in his teachings, there were things Jesus taught and they were prophecies yet to be fulfilled until his resurrection. If I look at Luke chapter 24. Are you there? Luke 24. Remember this teaching he gave just after he rose from the dead. So the teachings Jesus gave when he rose from the dead, he gave further explanation of previous teachings. Luke captures more of those teachings than almost all the other four gospels. Alright, so here, Luke 24, verse 4. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. What is it referring to when he says these are the words? It's referring to his status, his standing. He was standing before them. Because they doubted, he ate fish with them. But they were doubting, is it him, is it not, is it a ghost? So he ate fish with them and flesh. You can touch me, you can handle me and say. Say, flesh and bone does not have what you see me have. And I said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you in the flesh. I'm with you now in spirit. The resurrection means God is with you, not physically, but spiritually. Say amen. Hallelujah. So he now says that these are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you. Notice what he says. That all things must be fulfilled, which are written where? In the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So look at some of those things that are meant to be fulfilled. Matthew 11. It's good for you to open your Bible. Matthew 11. And verse 25. Look at one of the things that Jesus said. Let me read from 28. Matthew 11, 28. See what it says. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I want heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Light. Now notice, come unto me, and they were standing in front of him. Come unto me, and they were standing in front of him. So, come unto me is a prophecy. It couldn't be realized when he was saying it was a prophecy. All ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you, not I have given you, I will give you, it was yet to come to pass. I'm trying to explain to you what he says, that all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Something happened that made that a reality. So, they were thinking Jesus taught, Jesus said, while he was teaching them, while he was still with them physically, that did not come to pass until he rose from the dead. His resurrection means so much to us. Again, if something was a promise, it is now fulfilled. It is no longer something you're looking forward to. It's something you are living the reality of. So when he says, go ye therefore and preach, why should you go? All authority. Or this has been fulfilled. Hallelujah. This has been fulfilled. John chapter 14. From verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Or from now onwards, your reference point for believing God will be me, because I'm the God that you can see. That's what he's saying. Believe also in me. Next verse. In my Father's house are many mansions. And over the years, I think we've been able to teach extensively. How many of you are still looking for a physical house when you get to heaven? Say, God is spirit. Say, God is spirit. Are there buildings in heaven? Yes. Okay. But your reward is not a house. Say amen. If your reward is a house, if you have a house here, and you are wealthy, and you have a house that has 20 rooms, which one will God build for you? Over there. Think about which one will God build for you. So, you can reward somebody here with a physical house, isn't it? Okay. But over there, whatever the reward will be, can be canal. Say amen. Say amen. You see, now, wrong teaching can affect the visions that you see. It can. You will see revelation inconsistent with God's word because that's what you've been taught. Okay? I have never had a revelation where Peter was at the gate. And if I see Peter, I will see him. I will know he's Peter by revelation. But I've never read where I saw Peter by the gate. And I've never had a revelation where people were being screened, not allowed to go in because of weaver and hearing. I've never had one. Somebody says, why? Because I'm properly taught. Now, if you're not properly taught, your vision of what, because it, your vision of heaven will be carnal. Carnal means that it's fleshly. You bring God down to religious thinking. That God is interested in the makeup you put on. He's so angry at makeup. Anybody who uses makeup will not go to heaven. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, and Peter tells you that you put on the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. So your spirit is also wearing makeup. You know, it doesn't make any sense. He calls it ornament. And he says that ornament before God is of great price. Say amen. Say amen quickly. Say my spirit is my ornament. What do you do with an ornament? Will we see ornament if you don't wear it? So what do you do with an ornament? You wear it. Then we see it. Peter is telling you, let the spirit of God be your clothing. Let the nature of Christ be what is seen. Is it that is what God sees as great price? He is making a comparison between what men call great and costly, and what God sees as great and costly. He's not saying women should not use makeup, they should not wear expensive jewelry. He's telling you expensive jewelry is not what God gives regard to. He's saying spiritual conduct is what God sees as highly valuable. That's what he's saying. Do you understand the difference? No. He's not saying you stop wearing gold, stop wearing silver. If silver and gold makes you look good, please wear it. God is not, see, that's not what God sees. What impresses God is that beyond the dressing, there's a conduct. That conduct, it causes an ornament. That ornament is your spirit. That spirit is the spirit of God. That's not being displayed. So he's saying that there is something that you are wearing that's more expensive than gold. More lovely than your outward dressing. It's the nature of Christ which you put on display for us, believer. That's what led this morning to pray about. The love of God will abound towards all men. That's what it's talking about. He said, that's the true ornament. So God can be so petty. That's the word petty. That is looking at your makeup, your weave on, before you can enter heaven. If you ever have a revelation where you were asked to remove your gold, it's probably because it's fake. And God doesn't like fake things. I want to say, but why are you doing this to us? Why are you doing this kind of thing? This is what we use for the pavement. And this one is more superior. Just throw that one away. Come and collect this one. That's what he's saying. It's not telling you you should go away. The real gold is in your heart. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So he says, when he speaks about mansions, in my father's house, again, this is Jewish language. The word house there is what household. There's a family. The father has in view. He's telling you God has always had a family view. It was that family in view that made God invite Adam to eat of the tree of life. And Adam said, I don't want to be part of your family. He came to Abraham. Abraham said yes. He came to Moses. Moses said yes. Jacob, Isaac, they all said yes. God has a family in mind. So in my father's family, there are many mansions. Now pay attention. The one mansion is the word, a place where you dwell to continue your activities. If you were healing, when you come there, you keep healing. If you were saving, when you get there, you keep saving. It's a place where you dwell to continue whatever activity you were involved in. That's what mansion. It's not mansion the English way we know it about a structure. No. Because it doesn't make sense for there to be mansion in houses. So even the word house, this is not speaking about this. In my father's household, that's my father's family, there's room for many more sons to do what I am doing. That's what Jesus is saying. So Jesus is giving a prophecy. In my father's household, when those mansions are created, what they would do is this. They would do exactly what I'm doing. So that instead of one person, there will be many people doing the same thing. Hallelujah. Do you understand? That's what he's saying. So see what he says again. If you were not so, if this is not the father's plan, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Then we said, the word prepare there, that you can have an extension to this building. It will be outside. People will sit in the extension outside. So that's an external preparation. But the word preparation is the word internal preparation, which is, I want you to be exactly where I am, occupy the same space I occupy. Let me say it another way. In other words, whatever I can do now, because I am the Father's mansion, but I'm not meant to be the only one, otherwise you can't call it a household. Are you following this morning? In my Father's household, it's prophecy, there are, it's in view. Let me say it another way. I think in John chapter 12, Jesus said, he was speaking in parable. He said, except the corn of wheat falls to the ground, it abides alone. But when it falls to the ground and dies, it brings forth what? Much fruit. How many of you agree with that? Alright, so who is the corn of wheat? Who is the corn of wheat? When he rose, he did rise alone. So when he rose, instead of mansion, what do we have? Household. Say amen. Is it clear now? So he says, I go to prepare a place. It will be an internal preparation. He says, so that where I am, you will what? Say where Jesus is. His office. His standing. His grace. His ability. I have it now. Why are you so afraid to say it? Why are you afraid to say it? Is he Lord? Yes. Is he the author and finisher of faith? Yes. Is he the Prince of Life? Yes. Is he the Captain of our salvation? Yes. Will he always be God? Yes. What did he do? He brought us in the Father's family and made us members of the household. For us to be less, we can't be called members. That's where the issue is. So when he was telling them, all authority is given unto me, he was telling them, heaven and earth has come together in my resurrection. Oh, by this resurrection now, heaven is now where? In the earth. Look at verse 20 quickly. Sorry, I didn't quote. I'm talking about John Matthew 28. Say this man has left this place again. All right, okay. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I what commanded you. And lo, I am where? With you always. If I tell you, look, gaze at, behold, I am with you. And I left. I left. In Mark 16, he left. In Acts 1, he left. If I Acts 1 is the most graphic, most graphic one. In Acts 1, they saw him as began to ascend. They even saw a cloud receive him out of sight. That's very graphic. Why did they need to see it? Oh, there's a particular group of people, the 11. They were to be high witnesses of his what? Ascension. Paul was meant to be a spiritual witness of his exhortation. That's the difference. But there had to be men who said that it's not fables who were there. We heard with him. There is a high witness. You put the two together to have what we call the gospel. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Now, Jesus was leaving their sight. And he says, look. If I stand for you and say, look, I am with you. What are you looking at? What am I doing? Am I really with you? In the natural. So look cannot be look at me physically. It has to be look through the word. Because you have to perceive from everything I've taught. What did I teach you? In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go to pray a place for you. What does it mean to pray a place? To make you a mansion. Jesus, who is the mansion in Father's house presently? I am the one. What is the Father's plan? You also become a mansion in the Father's house. So that where I am, what were you doing when you were here? I healed the sick. I raised the dead. I cast out devils. That's what I did. How am I doing it? I'm the Father's mansion. In case they miss, even told them, the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. So let me ask you a question. Who is dwelling in you now? Who is dwelling in you now? Okay, I see doubting. John chapter 6, 14. Hallelujah. You know, it's interesting that, okay, I wanted to say that because, I mean, I've had to minister to ministers and they didn't know. Where is the confidence to do ministry? If you have doubt that Jesus, the resurrection fact of Jesus is never spoken of in the epistles as a past tense event, not once. It's always a present tense continuous event. Check the epistles. In that he rose to live forevermore. Why is this spoken of present tense? Because the proof that he rose is you and I, and we are alive. So it's not a past event, it's a present tense reality that we keep speaking about, because every time you say Jesus is risen, not that he rules, he is what? Risen. You're saying everything God said he would do, he has done. So it's not semantics. We're not playing with words, okay? And they shall like just using. We're not playing with words, because this reality has to dawn on you for you to walk in the supernatural. Say, I'm a supernatural being. I'm full of God's power. I do not lack God's ability. God's ability is working in mightily. I will walk that walk. I'll walk that power. I'll give expression to it. Yeah. I will. So John chapter 14, verse 16, he's teaching the same thing. Emphasizing the same truth using different words. He says, and I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, or I will make a demand on the Father that he will abide with you forever. Who was dwelling in Jesus? The Father. Who will abide with the Christian forever? The Father. What does it mean? I will pray. The work I will accomplish on the cross will make it possible for him to what? Dwell in you forever. What's another word for that work? I go to prepare a place for you. Has he prepared the place for? Has he prepared the place? What's that preparation called again? The resurrection of Jesus. How does he say it in Matthew? All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Is it making sense now? Is it making sense now? They are not disjointed statements. They are the same thing said in different ways. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. What's another word for that? Heaven and earth have what? Come together. What does heaven represent? God. What does earth represent? Man. So when you have God in man, what do you have? Heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Is that clear now? Good. So it now says, I pray Father shall give you an uncle that he may abide with you. How long? How long? Say forever is forever. Now let me ask you a question. Is God living in you? Does he go on vacation? Does he take naps? Does he take breaks? He never sleeps, never slumbers. The work I have to do as a believer, if God dwells in me and Jesus did the preparation for me to be in mansion in the Father's household, the work has been done. The Father now dwells in me. My work now is that I need to be conscious that he dwells in me. Because when he says behold, he was going. So obviously the beholding could be looking at him physically, because he was going. So he must have left my physical presence, because he knew being around me physically will hinder me from knowing a greater truth. And that truth is that he now dwells in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. He now dwells in me. All the time Jesus said, the Father that dwells in me does the works. We didn't see the Father. We only saw the activity of Jesus. It was just as telling us it is Father that's doing the work. But we never saw the Father. But the Father was there with him. So it wasn't that the Father was following him everywhere, was going. First, no, the Father was where? Dwelling in him. So I'll go to pray a place for you. His Father will also dwell where? In you. Which is greater than God just being around you? Say amen. Hallelujah. Do you understand so far? Look at verse 20. The same scriptures. At that day you shall know. And the word know here is what gradually come to realize. You shall know. That's what gradual realization, gradual comprehension. You shall know that I am where? In my Father, and you are in me. What's the last part? So where is Christ now? I thought he says he's in the Father. Read again. In that day you shall know that I am where? In my Father. And you are where? In me. Stop. Let's do maths. Where is Jesus? In the Father. Okay, where are we? In Jesus. Then what did you say again? And I in you. Where is Jesus again? Where are we? So where is the Father? I think in mathematics is complete. So is he saying what he said different from verse 16? No. I'll pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter. That is where the misunderstanding sometimes. When you hear, he shall give you another comforter. The one Greek, the one another is the same. The same comforter. What he was simply saying is this. Why do you use the word another? The way I am with you now is not the way I will be with you then. So you use the word another. I'm the same person, but I can't be with you this way. So that I'll be holding your hand, you'll be seeing me every morning. That's sense knowledge. That's not faith. What is faith? I will not live in you, by the Spirit. So the Spirit is the other comforter, or another comforter, or the Father dwelling in you. So when, you know, for instance, when Jesus was being baptized at John the Baptist, I may not remember that incident, in John's Gospel chapter 1, John told us something important. He said that, I knew him not. If you read from verse 33, John's Gospel chapter 1. But he that sent me to baptize, the same said unto me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and what? Remaining. He it is that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. You know, it's interesting. The Gospels have told us more than once, but we sometimes don't get it. How can you give Spirit if you are not God? You cannot give Spirit. He's telling you Jesus' official office is that he will be giving people Spirit. And the Father and the Spirit are one. And he will give you Spirit, so he will give you the Father. Or he will make, the Father will make himself a gift to you through Jesus Christ. That's what he said. He is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. That's what he says. When you see this particular one, the Spirit descending and what? Remaining. And Jesus now tells you, the Father that dwells where? In me. He does the works. But you said the Spirit will descend. You are not saying the Father that dwells in you. I thought you said the Spirit that dwells in you. Jesus said you is one and the same thing. Say amen. Amen. Say God is a Spirit. And they that worship him in spirit, which is truth. Thank you. So can you see? Is it getting clear? So yes, the mindset we have. Jesus told you, the Father that dwells in me, I will prepare a place. It is where I am. Where are you? I am the Father's mansion, the Father's temple. I consider the Father's household. Out of me will come many sons. We will have Father dwelling in them. The word mansion is where you dwell to continue in your work. So the Father's work in the earth, he has been doing all this, is he began to show it clearly in his Son by incarnation. He now continues that work in us by resurrection. Because without resurrection, the Father cannot be in us. So the rather being in us now is the preparation Jesus went to make by his death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. I'm seeing differences, you get it. Here's what I'm trying to communicate to us. Lo, I am with you. Again, if you were a Jew, you understand the gravity of that statement, because I am is a name, Jehovah. Only Jehovah bears that name. In Exodus 3:14, look at Exodus 3:14. We won't go too far today, we just round up shortly. This is Moses asking God. Look at the previous verse. Let's read from verse 12. And he says, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto you that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God where? Upon this mountain. Let me ask you again. Who was Moses talking to? Trick question. Who was Moses talking to? Everybody's quiet now because I said trick question. Okay, no trick. Who was Moses talking to? Okay, this is Exodus chapter 3. This is the story of the burning bush. So if you read Acts chapter 7, who was in the burning bush? Thank you. You people are intelligent. Bible scholars. An angel. Who is the angel representing? God. Thank you. But who was he talking to? An angel. So, see what happened then. Next verse. You notice the angel, you will serve God upon him. And he said, you will serve me. You serve God upon this mountain. So, next verse now. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to you now, I shall say, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. Who shall? And they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Next verse. And God said, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me. Do you know the word I am means present tense continuous? Anytime you talk about it, still I am. I am that I am. I will be what I will be. It's God's redemptive name. It's a revelation of the fact that God will redeem man. I am. I will be to man a father. It has always been God's plan from the beginning. I will be what I will be. I will be man's savior. I will be his justification. I will be his peace. That's what he says. I am that I am. So when Jesus said, no, I am with you, is the Father now exists with you from now onwards. I am with you. He's not with you as a companion. Mm-mm. He's not following you. You see, once you don't know the difference, you pray funny prayers. Father, as we're going on this journey, go ahead of us. Clear the way. Remove up obstacles. You are sending him on the land. Now, it sounds humble, but it's not scriptural. Because he didn't promise to go ahead of you. He said he will live in you. Say he lives in me. So when you woke up in the morning and you were going, who was in you? So you are the one who is not acknowledging that is where? In you. But is in you. Now, until you acknowledge, your faith in what is able to do through you will not be effectual. So your work is to acknowledge. Paul's prayer for us is that we may acknowledge. So in Ephesians 1, you see, we cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of what? Glory. Says my Father. He's the Father of glory. That means I'm also glory. Say it now. Say it, say it, say it, say it. That's not working in the supernatural. I say I'm also glory. He's the Father of glory. You don't know you are glorious. The word saint is the word holy. Holiest of all. So if I greet Sister Mercy, Sister Mercy, holiest of all. You can't be more holy than Sister Mercy. I didn't say you look at her conduct. I said look at her, that she's a saint. She's a saint. Sanctified in Christ Jesus. A saint means holiest of all. A saint is a reference to what God has done. Not your personal conduct. It will influence your personal conduct. But a saint is who God has done. This is God's work in Christ Jesus. Say amen. Say I'm God's work in Christ Jesus. Do you see why you should never ask the question, is your name written? You are the holiest of all. What are you writing again? Brother, is your name written in the book of life? And the reason why they are asking is because your ear cut. Doesn't it look like your name is written? So they want to write it. When they ask what you say, sir, is your name also written? Is it with biro? Because some of you is pencil they use to write your name. They can erase it. The way you are behaving is you like it to be erased. Because who told you they are using pencil or ink? Jesus is the book of life. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. We are in him. We are in the book of life. I know some of you are still waiting for them to shout there, Tonyo Ogundipe. Is that your name? Check, check, check the name. Ah. And when you are saying that, then, by the time you say, what's your name? Tonyo Ogundipe. 1,500 people get up. Which number is your own? You know, it's very funny. Your father gave you Tonyo Ogundipe. You not think when God son named you, he also gave you Tonyo Ogundipe. It doesn't make sense. He's the Father of spirits. He has only one name for you. Son. Son of God. What man of Lord Father has built upon that we should be called the sons of God. That's who we are. You know, you can use natural reasoning to try to understand scripture, you just fail. It's a spiritual book. How can you be thinking that there's a long list? Even you report as you're waiting on the queue. When will they call my name now? In the millennia. You know, just think that carnally. These people were not yet, they had not yet received resurrection as a reality, as a promise. Jesus told them, in that hour Jesus rejoiced. He told them, in this cast down the rejoicing, but rejoice that your names are written. Your names are written. And he was yet to rise from the dead. So even Jesus did things by faith. These are people that want to deny him. And Jesus was saying, your names are already written. He said to them, you cannot fall. Hallelujah. And when I said nobody is able to pluck them out of my hands. Somebody, because he wanted to counter eternal salvation, said that, what if I really go out? You need to use your imagination for better things. I don't understand. If you really go out, the mighty hands will say, well, what if I really go out? I don't understand that kind of thinking. How did you imagine it? You will really go out. I don't understand. He's able to save you to the uttermost. Those who come to God by him. You are talking about already going out. You think he's forcing you to stay there. He's not forcing you. You are born. You can't be unborn. Glory to God. You can't be unborn. Hallelujah. You can't be unborn. No, I am is with you, is what he was saying. Say the I am is in me now. Jesus did not need to go through all that. See, if your status will not be different from Moses, Jesus did not need to go to the cross. Because Moses was blessed. He had the power of God before Jesus ever went to the cross. He went to the cross. I go to pay a place for you so that where I am, nobody has ever been there. Where I am, there you may. Nobody has ever been called son of God. Nobody has ever been called son of God. So for him to say that, that's what, listen. Sometimes you want to trip over and start preaching another message. The believer has more than forgiveness of sins. you have more than forgiveness of sins. Once you are tripping up with that truth, you will never be fit for ministry. Your eyes and your focus will not be on the fact that, see, I am saved to serve. There are too much heavenly resources in me to waste, sitting by the wayside, doubting whether I'm forgiven. That's old story. I'm eternally forgiven. I'm perfected in Christ Jesus. He deemed it fit. Paul said that he judged me faithful and put me into the ministry. He didn't start. He put you there into ministry himself. And he did it on the strength of what he has accomplished. Not on the strength of what you will do. That's what he did. What are you meant to do? Reconcile your mind to those truths. So Paul says, in that day you will gradually come to realize. You will know. So the more it sinks and settles in, the bolder you are when it comes to ministry. Say, these hands, they heal the sick. My words get the lost saved. My words cast out devils. My authority changes situations in life. You have to learn to speak that way. It is not something you did. It's something he gave you. If somebody buys you a new car, after the euphoria of having a new car, will you go back to him and tell him, can I drive it? He gave you a key and left. He said, actually, maybe I should only be in Lagos. But they told me to come to Ilorin. Should I take it? Do I have your permission? We'll look at you. When I gave it to you, did not call it a gift. You are a steward of God's gift. But it's still a gift. Whether you use it, if you like, use tarpaulin to cover the car. I may take in Marwa. It's still a gift. It has been given. On God's side, it has been handed over. You are a steward means that you have a responsibility to walk in the fullness of what he has given you. Because he won't take it back. He won't change his mind. Hallelujah. So what I meant to do, realize the I have is a great responsibility. It's more serious than what people like Moses had. Because I am means I am is now in you. Go ye therefore, make disciples. Hallelujah. We can have a demonstration now. If you have any pain in any area, I've asked someone to lay hands upon you now. How do you stay up yourself? You declare in the name of Jesus, my sufficiency not of myself, my sufficiency is of God, who also has made me an able minister of the New Testament. Not of letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter may kill, but the Spirit gives what? Life. I'm a life-giving spirit. The life of God flows through me. God's power, exceeding greatness of his power, is at work through me and towards me. I handle the supernatural. I handle God's healing power. You are saying that not because you feel like. You will never get the sick healed if you're always thinking feeling. You should not have been in church today if you follow your feeling. Because the blanket hugged you. They didn't hug you before you left this morning. They adopted you as one of their own. But you refused the adoption for this morning, so you are in church. So if you're following feeling, there are many things you won't do. It's not every day you feel like going to work. But guess what? You go. If you came for medical service, I told them, said that you cannot tell us that, sir, I've not been feeling like eating. This is day four. We will not care about your feeling. We'll force food down your throat, whether you feel like eating or not, because we know if this feeling continues, your spirit may escape out of your body. Well, let me say that your body may reject your spirit. When children, out of foolishness, are throwing trash and they refuse food, and this is morning, this is evening. Have you seen those old women? When they first feed, you see they are wicked. No, because medical doctors will tell you, if a child's temperature is not high, the child is eating, child is sleeping, whatever is wrong with the child is small. Or you have not found out. I'm not a doctor, I know. I've asked them, if the child's temperature is not high, the child is sleeping, the child is eating, those two things, whatever is wrong with the child is small, they can be handled. If any of those three things, something goes wrong, you have to be more careful. So the child is not eating. You have you seen them force feeding before? You don't see them. It looks like punishment. If I'm child like this, you will eat. Not me, you will eat. You will eat. No, it looks like an act of wickedness. But there has to be nutrient in the child's body. The child is too foolish to know. You need this thing to stay alive. What do you do? You know, say, sorry now. Won't you eat this? I'm not eating. You should live there. That can go on for a few times, 11 hours. If it's second day, my friend, come here. You eat this food today, by all means. Because you know the next thing is drip in the hospital. What are they still doing? The same thing you didn't do. They are passing food into the child through liquid. Is that not what they are doing? You know, when your children were younger, I tell them that, if you don't take this medicine, see injection. Ah, bring it.
this is,
and you know you have children that it's not even medicine, it's supplement. Take vitamin C. No. No. Take this. No. Take this. Call doctor. Book out for injection. Daddy, bring it. Hallelujah. Now, here's what I want you to realize. If you don't practice the supernatural, it is still there. It won't go away. You will be like that servant who buried his talent in the ground. Never used it. Never discovered how much of an inheritance he or she was given. Your mouth is for preaching the gospel, not just for eating. Your hands is for healing the sick. There are miracles God wants to walk through you because the I am is now in you. Say, the harm is in me now. Say, the harm is me now. He wants to influence my sphere of life. Every area of life he wants to influence. He wants to show up there because he can only show up through you. So you can't afford to be complacent or lackadaisical about God's ability. God's power is in you. It's not for Holy Ghost meetings. Holy Ghost meetings to set you up. Have you not been set up? I want to say to me, Pastor, why can't be having this meeting every Sunday? I said, go outside. Go and look at the name of the church. It is Noble House Christian Center. It's a church. It's not Holy Ghost Center. What is the church? We teach here. We train. We equip. You practice. We cannot be only Holy Ghost. It's not a meeting center. It's a church. A local assembly. So after you have shouted, you've prayed, you have rejoiced, you have received, what do? You are full. You are stirred up. What do? You go and minister. Your ministration is not for Holy Ghost meeting. No, it's that boldness has not been acquired for you to go outside and then lay hands on the sick and then preach. You know what you are handling, you've tasted, and you have seen that the Lord is good. So in the gospel you are preaching, you are telling them the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Have you tasted that the Lord is good? What do? You go out with it. You are bold with it. I don't know why believers are always thinking. And why are we always thinking that? I heard man of God, I've never forgotten, he said that. Said, when he was about to pray for somebody else, he said that, what if he doesn't get healed? He said that, what if he gets healed? Are you sure? What if he doesn't say, what if it works? It will work. That's why you are lying. It will work. Then you lay your hands on the sick. Jesus said, on the strength of his resurrection, you shall lay hands. He didn't say, they might recover. He said, they shall. The strongest assertion. They shall recover. Not they may recover. Read it very well again. I heard Dr. Robert say that. Now, this is a man, he ministers with tangible anointing. Yet he says he goes to Mark 16 and starts reading from verse 15 all the way to the end. He says he does that. Listen carefully to what he said. I do it for 30 days. Ha. So when I get to the crucible ground, Dr. Kenekuma was his former pilot, said that when you are around him, you will hear a physical cracking of his bones, of God's power flowing. He has meditated to the point of stupor. You know you can meditate to stupor. Listen, you can meditate until there is no form of sickness that scares you. You just know if they come in contact with the greater one in me, it will be paralyzed. I went to the house of a church member one day, and one of the people close to him already warned me that his parents attend a wedding garment church and they don't have any regard for a church like ours. He told me, he said that they call you people amen, amen church. I don't know where they got the impression that we don't pray for them. I don't know where they think so. Maybe it's because of the way we dress. So they think that they go amen, 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 amen. And they think they are the ones who pray. Interesting. So I got there. You have to be wise as a pastor. You learn something about it. So I didn't wear shirt at night. I wore native. I got there, I persuaded. Okay. He has not been able to walk for the past 1 week. He has a heart problem. He can't walk. He has not been able to. I said, okay, can I just pray with him? He said, okay. So they followed me to the guy's room. That kind of meeting, you already pray yourself. You pray. You settle yourself. You decide. This is, you can't say any other thing except healing. You understand? Healing. Now, God has always been ready. Your prayer is for yourself. So you will be ready as God is ready. Say amen. That's what it's supposed to be for. He said, oh God, come down and manifest your power. Oh God, hear me now. If you have never heard before, hear now. That's crucigram. That's crucigram for unbelievers. That's crusade ground. It's okay for crusade ground. Okay? So, because if it's not crusade ground, you will walk yourself out of faith into unbelief. Because you are saying God that lives in you should come down. When will he come down again? He came into you in Christ Jesus. The arm is in you now. Say amen. So I said, for their benefit, I shared the gospel a little bit with them. I reminded him of who he was. So while they were still looking at what I'm about to do, I did it suddenly. I just jumped up, took him by the hand, pulled him up. He said, in the name of Jesus, stand upright, stood upright. I walked 2 feet with him, dropped him, he started walking. They were like, he was healed. Some of this is why the I am is with you. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. He doesn't go on vacation. He doesn't go on vacation. You are the one who is meant to stay conscious of his ever abiding what? Presence. If he's in you like he was in Jesus, he will do the same miracles. He will do the same miracles to prove that the same God, the same Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Jesus calls you brethren. The same honor is upon you. You share the same inheritance. Exceeding greatness of his power. So say, I don't lack power. All the power I will ever need, I have it now in Christ Jesus. All the faith I will ever need, I have it now in Christ Jesus. All the wisdom I will ever need, I have it now in Christ Jesus. All the boldness I will ever need, I receive it in Christ Jesus. I walk in miracles. I walk in signs and wonders. These hands heal the sea. These hands raise the dead. This mouth cast out devils. I speak and the lost are saved. I proclaim God's power. And the paralyzed, they get up. The deaf, they hear. The blind, they see. The crippled, they walk. Those who have a God's meeting, they get it replaced supernaturally. You have to learn to talk like that. Even if an angel appears to you and tells you, God has called you to do this and this and this. When the angel goes, you will still need to rehearse those words to yourself. Because Jesus, our pattern, our example, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he stood up to read. He found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me. Jesus had to announce it, to walk in it. He announced it. You need to announce it for yourself to hear. I'm no ordinary man. God's sufficiency is at work in this man. This is God's righteousness in Christ Jesus. This is God's miracle center. I'm God's healing factory. There's so much healing power. I need more men to attend to and I can possibly meet. What are you doing? You are staying under power. You are activating it. Don't be complacent this year. Don't be dull this year, this season. So when I said earlier, we're going to have healing rallies. Don't think the pastors will just gather and start ministering. No, you are the one that will minister. Because he said, this sign shall follow the believing one, not the pastoral ones. The believing ones. In my name. Do you have his name? Do you have his name? Do you have his authority? Do you have his boldness? They shall, not the might. They shall cast their devils. They will lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover. Why do devils need to be cast out? Some of the cases that will come, that will be sick, there will be demons involved. You will need to rebuke the demons and ask them to go. Have no doubt. There are some things you have watched. His own video. There's no proof. Did you see it happen in the Bible? When Paul spoke to that woman, that spirit of divination. You see, one said that, you, Paulo. You that used to, you've forgotten. You that used to go after believers, you've forgotten. No. So where did you hear the story from? That when you want to cast a demon, he will ask you, auntie, even you? Nah. You are clothed with Christ. His ability working through you. You are not going in the flesh. You are going in the spirit. You stand in the authority of the Lord Jesus. You lay hands on the sick to recover. Glory to God. You do. You are wired, you are constituted that way. You are God's power factory. Wherever you are. Because you are here, God is at rest. Glory to God. God is at rest. What you do, you use words to convey those realities to your consciousness. You keep hearing it. You keep saying it. The more you say it, the more you are releasing that ability consciously. Many times as you say those things, you will feel God's power suddenly begin to flow through you. Your words activated it. It's there, but what's activated it? As a pastor, as a minister, I've been in meetings where I saw a lot of spectacular things happen, and I've been to places where it was just like, you know. But I'm a bit too experienced now. When I say experience, I'm not talking about years of ministry. I'm talking about interaction with God's word to fall for the deception of the flesh to make me think I'm not in the spirit, because people have walked up to me and said, Pastor, speak God's word to me. No preamble. I just opened my mouth and I spoke exactly what they need to hear. My sufficiency is not of myself. If I look to my head, I will tell the person, come back 28th of February. I'll be charged up. Yeah. I'm ready. I need to go to the mountain. Mountain is good. But it's not the mountain that put anything in you. When you are going to the mountain, you are still carrying him with you to the mountain. Is in you a very present help on the time of need. And there are men filled with needs all around us. Sometimes we're led to minister to them from the angle of their need and then preach the gospel. Sometimes we preach the gospel along the line, we take care of their need. I mean, spiritual needs. Some people have conflict, some people have issues. I ministered to a Muslim woman. I didn't know she was Muslim. I thought she was a Christian. They brought her to church. So as I wanted to lay hands upon her, God said, no, don't lay hands upon her. She's not a child of God. Tell her that this will be done as an act of mercy. I didn't know. So I asked her, Ma, you are not a Christian. She said, no, I'm a Muslim. I said, fine. She was having difficulty bringing forth a child. So I just spoke to her. I said, go. It's settled. There was a demonic force, actually. I saw exactly what was happening. Holding her back from bringing forth. She was pregnant, heavily pregnant. She was way past due the time, and she just couldn't. I just spoke to her, I said, go. And she gave birth with ease. After that, you can preach the gospel in that kind of situation. Do you understand? You've seen God's mercy. This is how good God is. So he's not coercing you to be a believer. He's not coercing you. For God so loved the world, he gave. What you have received now, out of what God, how much God loved the world, is just a fraction. The full gift is his life in you. You let them know. You are free from that demonic oppression. It's just a fraction of how much God loves you, even though you are an unbeliever. Now come and receive the full package. Hallelujah. Say, I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm an emissary of the gospel. I'm God's man wherever I am. The sick are healed through me. Hallelujah. Do you have anyone who has a migraine right now? You have joint pain right now. Let me see your hand. You have joint pain right now. You have joint pain right now. Yeah, where's the pain? Lower back. Okay. Joint pain. Any other person? Joint pain. Where's the pain? Your back also. Lower back. Back also. Okay, we have back cases. Back. Knee. Okay. Knee also. That is it. Knee. Okay. Alright. So we have a demonstration now. Okay. If you can stand. If you cannot stand, you can sit. If you cannot stand, you can sit. Power God will still meet you where you are. Glory to God. And just pray in the Holy Ghost a little bit. Quietly. Lord Jesus, I speak to your back. By the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, your back is healed. I command the pain to leave your back right now. In the name of Jesus. Everyone having back pain, where the pain is right now, I command it to leave your body now in the name of Jesus. Concerning your knee, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I channel God's power to you right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The pain is gone from your knees right now. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, gone from your knees. In the name of Jesus. Your back is healed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. He's my salvation, my redemption, justification and assurance. He's my salvation. To say, and I'm praying to be bold. It's like this: there's a check, as an account. The owner of the account tells you, withdraw any amount. Do you know, after that instruction, you will still withdraw what your mind cannot do? I mean, if you know what I'm talking about, all kinds of thoughts will come. If I write more than 100 million, won't they say I'm greedy? Won't they say my own is too much? He said, "You are living inside a war room. What do you want to be done with 1 million? He said, "Write anything." So you are now fighting your mind. He said, "Write anything." He's the one that's one of the account. So what you really need to write is boldness. How many of you understand that? So something to happen to your mind so that you can see yourself doing what he said you can do on his own account. That's what the teaching of God's word is for. Light, revelation, understanding. Because we are a supernatural people. Say amen. We are a supernatural God with supernatural abilities which we are going to walk in. The sick will be healed. Demons will be cast out. The lost will be saved. In the month of March, this month starting, from the day we are going to go out and invite people, you are the one that will lay hands. You will practically learn. Sometimes healing will be half. You will complete it. It can be in phases. You will. That's why we're having healing rallies. Hallelujah. So, because you need to handle God's power for yourself. And stop looking to some people. You have the same inheritance. Hallelujah. That's what God called us to do. We must walk in the fullness of our calling as a people. It says, supernatural, there are no limits. Or there are no more limits because you have what? Supernatural head. Lift your hands and thank him this morning. I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, this is my season. This year, I walk in the power of God. I fulfill my calling. I fulfill my ministry. I please my Father. I do his bidding. I do the works of Jesus. I'm not left behind. I'm not slacking. I'm not complacent. My fire is burning. I keep myself aglow in the spirit. I'm fervent always in the name of the Lord Jesus. I walk in the fullness of the Father's will. I walk worthy of the Lord unto all that is pleasing. I'm fruitful in every good work. I increase in the knowledge of God. Glory to God. That's how to speak to yourself. If God is in me, then things ought not to be normal around me. The supernatural for me is every day. I am every day. I'm led every day. I know what to do every day. This is my birthright. This is my inheritance. This is what I'm called to walk into. Glory to God.